In spite of the fact that peace is God's will for His creation, the painful reality is that we don't see peace in the world around us. Not only do we not see it in our world, we don't see it in families, marriages, churches, and even in our own hearts. Satan has robbed the people of this world of their peace. Someone has said that peace today is that glorious moment in history when everyone stops to reload. Peace is one of the dominant themes of the Bible. The record of human history opens with peace in the Garden of Eden, where Adam, the first man, and Eve, the first woman, were at perfect peace with nature, each other, and God. At the very end of the Bible, where God's sovereign and divine plan for His creation has been carried out in its totality, we once again see man at perfect peace with each other, with their God, and with nature in a new heaven and a new earth. The Bible begins with peace, ends with peace, and everything in between is the story of how He gave His Son to purchase peace for mankind. A truth that cannot be disputed is the fact that God has made every provision for man to know and experience the peace of God. With that truth firmly planted in our minds, it should come as no surprise that His followers are to be peacemakers, even as He is. Jesus was a peacemaker. We are to be followers and imitators of Christ. Thus, we are to be peacemakers also. It is for this reason that Jesus speaks the following words in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. Blessed, happy are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. This is the seventh in a series of 8 principles that were spoken by Jesus Christ as He began His earthly ministry. At the time that He spoke these words, He was setting forth the principles of kingdom living in a sermon we know as the Sermon on the Mount. This great sermon is recorded in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and was revolutionary to the hearers when it was preached by Jesus. The words of Jesus were radical. They totally changed how people looked at God, each other, and themselves. Someone has said that it is as though Jesus slipped into the display window of life and switched all the price tags. As a preamble to this sermon, Jesus gave us 8 principles that we call Beatitudes. These are 8 promised blessings to those who would be willing to conform their lives, attitudes, and thoughts to the design that Jesus had for His people. These 8 Beatitudes verbalize the heart and soul of kingdom living. Let's take a closer look at Beatitude number 7. Blessed are the peacemakers. What is Jesus saying to His disciples when He proclaims a blessing and state of joy and happiness on the peacemakers among them? To begin with, it is very obvious that we need peacemakers today. In spite of the fact that peace is God's will for His creation, the painful reality is that we don't see peace in the world around us. Not only do we not see it in our world, we don't see it in families, marriages, churches, or even in our own hearts. Satan has robbed the people of this world of their peace. Someone has said that peace today is that glorious moment in history when everyone stops to reload. I think we could agree with that statement. We don't see true peace today. We only see that tense moment when armies reload, the battlefields are cleared of the wounded, and new battle plans are being made. To illustrate that fact, in 1968, a major newspaper reported that there had been, since 36 years before Christ, 14,553 wars in the world. Friend, that's an average of more than 7 wars per year for approximately 2,030 years. Mankind has no idea what true peace really is. To understand the peace that God offers, we must distinguish it from man's corrupted version. I believe that distinction can be made in one key area. There is one major distinction between man's version of peace and that perfect peace that God offers. The difference is this. Man's peace, at best, is an absence of hostilities and conflict, while God's peace is the presence of righteousness. Let's take a closer look at that significant distinction. The best peace that man has to offer to this weary world is the brief absence of hostility. It may be that uneasy moment when everyone stops to reload. Or it may be that uneasy tension when two superpowers face each other down, knowing they both can destroy the other several times over while no one wants to be the first to pull the trigger. In a marriage, it may be that compromise standoff when a husband and wife agree not to tear each other apart for the kids' sake. All along, the reality of an imminent explosion follows that marriage, if you can call it that, just waiting to ignite it. This absence of hostilities can be seen in many churches where the power cells within the congregation are at a stalemate in their struggle for ultimate control. Sadly, what the involved parties do not see is a world around them, and in some cases within their own church, going to hell without Christ. Do you get the picture? Man's version of peace is just a truce called in the midst of a war. It is temporary at best. The warring factions may have stopped fighting, but they have not stopped hating. On the surface, everything may appear to be okay. But beneath the facade, there are open, infected, and oozing wounds that threaten a slow, agonizing, and painful death to the participants. But the peace of which Jesus was speaking, and the kind of peace that God offers to man, is not of that sort. It is not just the absence of hostilities. It is the blessed presence of righteousness and peace. It is not passive, something to be achieved by ridding the world of what is negative or bad. It is the aggressive attack of love, kindness, goodness, and forgiveness as it moves forward into the darkness, illuminating, warming, and healing all that gets in its way. It doesn't just try to keep people from being bad. It makes them good through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul challenges the Christians at Corinth to take up this ministry of peacemaking by imitating the ministry of Jesus. Listen to his words found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 19. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled or made peace us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. Now listen, and he has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation, or the ministry of making peace. You see, my friend, all the world can do is attempt to keep peace. But as a disciple of Christ, it is our responsibility to make peace. There is a vast difference between the two. A skilled mediator can keep peace for a while, but not forever. The mediator, Jesus Christ, can make peace for all eternity. And he is willing to do it in you and me, and through you and through me, if we will be willing participants with him. Don Richardson was a missionary to the cannibalistic head-hunting Sawi tribe of Indonesia. For centuries, the tribes of that area had been at war with each other. Thousands had been viciously tortured and killed over the years of unending war. However, the people had a tradition of a peace child that could be offered from one village to another in order to achieve peace. The film Peace Child records the experience of peace being made through the gift of a child between the warring villages. The missionary seized upon that tradition as a means of explaining the gospel to these people so desperately in need of the truth. In a tremendous moving of the Spirit of God, the Sawi people for the first time comprehended that Jesus was God's peace child given for them. As a result, many gave their lives to Jesus Christ and became God's children. What a marvelous picture of the peacemaker, Jesus Christ. And what a challenge to you and me to enter into his ministry of reconciliation. So you see, we who are the people of God are to be God's peacemakers in this sin-corrupted world. My friend, I propose to you that we are never more like Christ than when we are being used of him to make peace and bring reconciliation to those who are at war with God, at war with each other, at war with themselves. There are four characteristics of a peacemaker. Number one, he has made peace with God himself. One must know peace before he can bring peace to others. Number two, he leads others to make peace with God. Remember, there is no lasting peace unless it is with God first. This is man's greatest need. Number three, he leads others to become peacemakers. In this way, the ministry of reconciliation is multiplied. And number four, he always finds a point of agreement. While not compromising truth and righteousness, he will find some way to build a bridge of relationship with a person who is needy of God's healing. What is the result of being a peacemaker? Jesus said that peacemakers would be called the sons of God. Now, there are two words that describe our unique relationship with God. One is technon and is a term of endearment and affection. It is like saying, his dear child. The other word is huios and expresses the dignity and honor of our relationship with God. It is a word that has reference to eternal sonship that will never be lost. That is the word that Jesus uses in Matthew 5:9. If we will be peacemakers, then we shall eternally be called the sons of God. My prayer for you as we close today is that you will know the peace of God that passes all understanding. And I pray that you will be the peacemaker God wants you to be in order to bring that same peace and reconciliation to your family, your friends, and your world.